We've been in a series of lessons entitled Responsibilities Toward Truth. The very first responsibility that all men have toward the truth of God's Word is to hear it. Folks, if individuals have not heard the Word of God, it is absolutely impossible for them to have any other responsibilities toward the truth, or at least they are unable to exercise them. So the very first responsibility we talked about was hearing the truth. This morning, we're directing your attention to another responsibility, and it is the responsibility to love the truth. We're going to be looking at four different points in our lesson today. The first point is this: precepts about loving the truth. There are many passages of Scripture that talk about our need to love the truth. There is one psalm that is totally devoted to the Word of the living God and honoring the Word of God. And that psalm is Psalm 119. There are 176 verses in that psalm, and there are only four of those verses that do not mention the Word of God. It refers to it as the precepts of God, the Word of God, the statutes of God, the commands of God, the judgments of God, the righteousness of God. But in that psalm, over and over again, the psalmist tells about his love for the Word of God. Notice Psalm 119, verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which also I love, David says. We go just a little bit further in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. We turn just a little bit further in Psalm 119, verse 113. Vain thoughts I hate, but thy law do I love. Folks, those are just three of several passages where the psalmist says, I love the law of God. And if you and I are going to follow in the footsteps of King David, if we are going to model him, then you and I need to love the law of God just as much as David did. I find it interesting that there is only one passage in the entirety of the New Testament that talks about loving truth. That's interesting, isn't it? And when you find that passage, it has kind of a negative meaning attached to it. Listen to what the text says. It's found in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And folks, listen to what he says. He says, first of all, there are individuals out there who have heard the truth. Did you know there are many individuals in our world today who've never heard the truth of the gospel of Christ? If you've had the opportunity to hear truth, you have been blessed beyond measure. But notice what else he says. He says that these individuals, when they heard the truth, they did not receive the love of the truth. They didn't have that longing and that desire and that affection for the Word of God. And because of that, notice their end. They perished instead of being saved. Folks, the truth is simple. If I do not love the truth of God's Word, I cannot be saved. It's just that simple. Now we might ask this question, why? Why should we have a love for the truth of God's Word? I'm going to give four answers to that particular question. Number one, we should love the truth of God's Word because it is the Word which comes from our Heavenly Father. Do you love the Father? Do you love what He's done for you? Folks, if you truly love God, then you must love His Word, for this is the Word of God. We've mentioned this passage in lessons before. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That little word inspiration means it is God breathed. Every word that is found in this book originated first in the very mind and mouth of the Almighty God. My dad passed away 20 years ago this year. My dad was not a writer by any means. And I only have a few things that my dad scribbled down in a Bible. Oh, he put his name on some tools, and I have a couple of those. But as far as anything that is written by my father, the only thing I have is an old Bible where he's jotted down some notes therein. Folks, I cherish that old Bible that has my father's own handwriting, his own words found therein. And guess what? Not one of those things were directed right at me. They were just little notes that he took for himself. What if I had a book that my father had written? What if I had something that he left as a legacy telling me about his life, his desires for me, his love for me, the promises that he wants to see fulfilled in my life? Folks, wouldn't that be a wonderful, marvelous thing to have? I don't have it, but guess what? I do have it from my Heavenly Father. I've got a book of 66 books. A book that cannot be compared to any other book upon the face of this earth. And folks, we ought to cherish that book. We ought to love that book just because of where it comes from. But notice point number two. You and I need to love the Word of God because of its marvelous character. Oh, we could stop here and preach forever. Did you know that? Several lessons. Let's talk about three qualities of the Word of God that should cause me to love the Word of God. First, the Word of God is truth. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's a lot of stuff you pick up today and you read it and guess what? It ain't the truth, is it? There's a lot of stuff you turn to on television and you start listening to it, and guess what? It doesn't take you long to know this is not the truth. Folks, that's not the case when it comes to God's Word. Every word, everything that is found in this book is absolute truth. It is real. It is factual. There is absolutely no falsehood contained in this book whatsoever. What other book can you read that can guarantee truth from start to finish? Folks, it can't be done. Only this book contains that kind of truth. But notice, secondly, this book contains divine wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, "The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth there is knowledge and understanding." I don't know about you, but I know I'm not that smart. You know that? You step me away from the Word of God very much into some other areas and other fields, and guess what? I'm about as dumb as a brick. If you don't believe that, ask Kathleen. I know nothing about medicine and medical stuff. She just laughs at me. I don't know anything about carpentry. I don't know anything about electricity. I don't know much about anything, hardly. Folks, in reality, I'm not that smart. And guess what? There are not that many smart people on the face of the earth. But guess what? The God who is the God of all wisdom, the God who is the God of all knowledge and all understanding, He is the one who has revealed this book. And anything that is found therein is wise and knowledgeable, folks. It is a book absolute wisdom. And whoever is educated well in this book is wise beyond any man educated in the ways of this world. It is a book filled with wisdom. Notice also, it is a pure book. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 140, "Thy word is pure, therefore thy servant," watch this, "loveth it." Isn't that something? Remember I told you the psalmist talks a lot about his love for the Word of God? He says, one reason that I love the Word of God is that it is pure. There is absolutely nothing in that book that will contaminate you. There is nothing in the Word of God that will stain your soul. There is nothing in the Word of God that will make you a lesser and more evil and wicked person. Nothing, folks. The Word of God is totally pure, 100% pure. Think about the character of God's Word. It is truth, it is wisdom, it is pure. And we haven't even begun to touch the hem of the garment in describing that book. Just the quality of the book, the character of that book should cause me to love it more than you can possibly imagine. But notice also, we should love the Word of God because of what is revealed therein. Three verses, Romans chapter 3, verse 24. The Bible plainly tells us that we are justified by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Folks, there's no commentary. There's no verbiage from Victor on that verse. Just listen to it. Being justified by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a message. Go to another passage. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. No commentary, no verbiage, just listen to the message. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. What a message, folks. Go to another passage, Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He hath shed on us abundantly through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch what He says in the very next verse. Being justified by His grace, that we might be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No commentary. No talking about the passage, just listen to the message. What does He talk about? Salvation, mercy, grace, eternal life. Folks, the book is filled with those kind of themes. It's filled with some of the greatest messages that you could ever possibly imagine. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. No commentary. It's not needed, is it? If you and I will just pick up the book and just read it and hear the message that is found therein, folks, you must come to love the Word of God. But notice also what the book Bible does for us. This is another reason we love it. There's several things we could talk about. The Bible says that it saves us. James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, weighing apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The Word of God guides us, does it not? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. The Word of God protects us. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The Word of God also comforts us. Paul gets down to an end of a section in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he says this, wherefore, comfort yourselves together with these words. There are sections of Scripture that are designated to bring comfort to the hearts of men and women. And there is also hope. Remember thy word according to thy servant, which has given me hope. Psalm 119. Folks, the Word of God does things for us that no other book upon this earth can do. And because of that, I ought to love it. Why love the Word of God? Because of who gave it. That's one reason why I love it. Because of what it does for me. Another reason why I love it. Because of its character and its nature. Another reason why I love it. Because of the message that it contains. That's why I love the Word of God. Now the question that we need to ask ourselves is this. How do you and I manifest our love for the Word? Point number one, you and I need to show an awe for God's Word. Yeah. Folks, there needs to be a reverence, and there needs to be a respect, and there needs to be a trembling in the mind of man toward the message that is found herein. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 5, the psalmist or the prophet cries out, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, all that tremble at his word." I don't know that I've really ever met a human being on the earth today who would honestly say, "You know, Vic, I literally just shake at the Word of God." Can you say that? Can you honestly say that? The Word of God causes me to tremble because of how great and powerful and wonderful that it is. We have illustrations, examples in Scripture of individuals who trembled at the Word of God, who had a respect for the Word of God. We turn to the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah and Ezra have gathered all the people together. The walls are completed. The gates of the city of Jerusalem have been restored. And now the Bible says that Ezra stands before the people and he opened the book before all the people, for he stood before all the people. Now listen to what the text says. "And when he opened the book, all the people stood up." Wow. If I'm sitting down on front row in another congregation I don't know, and an older gentleman walks up to me, guess what Vic always does? I will always stand up. Doesn't matter what I have in my lap. Doesn't matter how hard it is to get up. That older gentleman walks by, sticks out his hand, I'm going to stand up in his presence. Why? Folks, that's respect, isn't it? I was taught that. I realize we live in a new generation today. You can just about do whatever you want to and say it's respect. But that's not respect if you just sit there. Here these individuals were. They saw Ezra open the law of God. He's about to read therein. And guess what? Without anybody asking them to, every one of them stood up to hear the Word of God read. Why? Because of their awe for the Word of God. We don't do that much anymore, do we? A king by the name of Josiah lived in a time wherein the Word of God had been lost. They found the Word of God in the temple. It was brought to Josiah, and the Bible says that it was read in his hearing. And the text says, "And when the king heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes." Folks, here was a man who was upset about the things that he had heard. Here we are, a group of individuals who've forgotten the Word. We're not practicing the Word. We're not doing what the Word of God says. He had an awe for the Word of God. And when he heard it, he rent his clothes in repentance before God. You see, if we love God's truth, there will be an awe about it. But notice, secondly, if we love the truth, we'll show an affection for the truth. How do you define affection? Boy, things are just going fast, isn't it? It's defined as emotions, feelings, sentiments. What are some of the feelings I should have toward God's Word? Folks, I should feel a fondness toward this book. I should feel a tenderness toward this book. Notice, I should feel friendliness toward the Word of God. Another one, a liking for. You know, there's some even Christians who really don't even like the Word of God anymore. I'm amazed at congregations who don't want book, chapter, and verse preaching, aren't you? They just want stories. They don't want the truth presented to them. They don't really like what God has to say. How sad. Notice also, it involves a friendship with the Word of God, an attraction toward the Word of God, an enthusiasm toward the Word of God. And somebody says, "Oh, preacher, you are filled up with it today." You can't love and have an affection for an inanimate object. Are you kidding? Several years ago, I was at Bible camp. The camp we went to, you get there on Sunday afternoon, and if you had a cell phone, your cell phone got taken away from you all week long. Okay? We had withdrawals at camp. We should have called it rehab. On Friday of the following week, when camp was over, all the kids got their phone back. There was a little girl, she's around 12 years old, and all of a sudden, she comes running down to the bleachers, just hooping and hollering and glad, and she had something held right here. Oh, oh, oh! We thought something was wrong with her. So what's wrong with you? She says, "It's my cell phone. I finally got it back. I've never been without my cell phone for a week." Poor little toots. You see, she had a what? She had an affection for what? An old cell phone. Don't tell me you can't have an affection for an inanimate object. But folks, we're not talking about an inanimate object. We're talking about the Word of God. This book's not inanimate. This book is alive. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice that first word, it is quick. What does that mean? It is alive. It is not a dead book. It is a live book, an animated book, filled with power and life, folks. And you and I can develop an affection for the Word of the living God. But notice thirdly, we've got to develop an appreciation for the Word if we're truly going to love it, don't we? A thanks deep within. And what do we need to be thankful for? First, I need to be thankful that God has even desired to reveal His will to me in this book. I ought to be thankful for all those men to whom this book was revealed, and they had the courage and the dedication not only to preach it and proclaim it, but to write it down as well. Folks, there's many who lost their life because they were trying to get this book into the hands of man. I need to give thanks for all those individuals who copied it throughout all the history of man, for those who have translated it into other languages. So now I have it not in Hebrew, not in Greek, not in Aramaic, but I have it in English that I can understand. And I need to just get down in my closet and thank my God for the Word of God itself and what that book means to me, folks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks for the Word of God. And lastly, if I'm really going to have a love for God's Word, I've got to develop an appetite for it. Isn't that what the Bible says, folks? If you truly love something, guess what? You have a desire for and a longing to do certain things for that individual that you love, don't you? And that's there every day. You wake up with that every day because you love that particular individual or that certain thing. The Bible tells us that you and I are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby, have an appetite for the Word. If there's a mother in here who's had a child, she knows what a hungry baby's all about, doesn't she? You can't keep the kid filled up, can you? Feed him now, 2 hours later, he's hollering again. Are you kidding me? Wake up at night, do it all over again. Wake up again at night, do it all over again. I can't feel the kid. And that's what the Bible says needs to be our appetite toward the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Have a longing for it, a craving for it, a desire for the Word of God. Now notice that next point. Folks, this appetite that we have for the Word of God is not a natural appetite. Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but about noon, I get hungry every day. There's some people get hungry a little bit more often than that. They get hungry 10 times a day. It's a natural appetite, isn't it? You go long enough without food and all of a sudden you're going to be hungry and you're going to satisfy that desire. That's not the case with the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? Here's what that tells me. I have to do two things. Number one, I'm going to have to develop that appetite. And Victor Eskew cannot develop that appetite for you. I can wish it for you. I can long it for you. I can preach it like I am now. But I cannot develop your appetite for the Word of God. You have to do that. And here's what else is scary. Not only do I have to develop it, I have to maintain it. Aren't there a lot of things today that can draw us away from the Word of God? Well, I sure do need to study, but the voice is on. Can't give up the voice. Wonderful singers. I just love that show. Now, folks, I'm telling you that because I love the voice. But you see, when we turn off the TV and go study for 30 minutes or an hour, oh no, but we'll watch the 3-hour version of the voice. It's amazing, isn't it? I need to study, but guess what? There's a sink full of dishes that just need to be washed. And those clothes, they got to be folded and put up. And then by the time you get through with all the stuff you need to do, guess what? You don't feel like studying anymore, do you? You see, you have to maintain a desire for the Word of God. And that's not easy to do, folks. That's why we say set aside a certain time, a certain place every day and never, ever break that routine. You maintain your hunger and desire for the Word of the living God. Because the very moment I stop, guess what? My love for truth begins to fade, doesn't it? How much should we love the Word of God? Two verses. Psalm 119, 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. When I was preparing this lesson, I looked up the price of gold. $1,200 an ounce, a little over that, about $1,208 an ounce, at least on the day I looked it up. Don't know what it is today. And I thought, you know, it sure would be nice to have a pound of gold. That was just for an ounce. Be nice to have a pound of gold, wouldn't it? So I multiplied that out, and that came to be $19,200 for a pound of gold. And then I thought, you know, it'd be even nicer than that to have 50 pounds of gold. So I multiplied that out, and that's $380,000. What if somebody came in here today to give you $380,000 worth of gold? Would you turn it down? They'd say, uh-uh. And once you got it, what would you do with it? Number one, you might rub it a little bit, mightn't you? Have to go out and buy you someplace to store it. You protect it with every fiber of your being. You would make certain that you're very cautious and very careful. $380,000 of gold. Wow. More valuable. It's more valuable. Psalmist said what? I will delight in thy commandments more than gold. Yea, more than fine gold. See, it's hard to convince ourselves of that, isn't it? It's hard to develop that kind of a mentality that I'm going to love this as much as I would love 50 pounds of gold. We turn just a little bit further and notice what the psalmist said. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. Notice how he says, and I love them what? Exceedingly. Exceedingly. I looked up the word exceedingly, and here are some of the definitions. Notice that first one, vehemently. I love thy word, vehemently. Folks, that word involves a passion, an ardor, an earnestness, a deep burning within. I love thy word passionately, the psalmist says. Notice some of the other definitions. Much, abundance, with force. Very, to a great degree, with muchness. Can a person love something exceedingly? Is that possible? Now, I realize the psalmist said it, but is it possible? Well, watch this. I know some folks who love some things exceedingly. Right now, because the season's over, they're kind of in major depression. See, they love football. It's just killing them right now. Oh, basketball, baseball. Guess when they're looking to? 1st of August. Aren't they? Do they love football exceedingly? Well, look here. They go out and buy the season tickets. Folks, you know what that means? You're going to be at every home game, every one of them. Doesn't matter whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Friday. It doesn't matter when it is. I'm going to be at that game. I got season tickets. Go price some season tickets. They're not cheap. And then game day comes, right? And they love football exceedingly. So guess what we have to do? We've got to tailgate. Game starts at 1 in the afternoon. They got there at 6 this morning. They're going to cook breakfast and lunch before they go into the game. Got to party a little. Got to get ready. Got to get a good mindset, don't we? And if they're not able to go, they can see the game on every device that they have. TV, iPad, iPhone. Anywhere they are, guess what? Watching a ball game, aren't they? They know the stats like crazy, don't they? Ask about the quarterback. What's his longest throw? How many receptions has he had? How many drop passes? Ask about the running backs. How many yards they've run this year? How many yards they ran last year and the year before that and the year before that? When was the last time they were in the playoffs? How many playoffs have they gone to? How many Super Bowls have they won? Folks, they know it all. But they can't memorize no word of God. But they know those statistics like the back of their hand. You know that? And you got to have all the paraphernalia. Don't you? It was last year sometime, my grandson went with his dad to an Arkansas football game. And he was just fortunate that he got picked up on the big screen. And they showed that to us. And there he was, big old helmet on his head. Y'all know Cole, he's a little bit skinny dude. Big old helmet just bouncing on his head, looked like a bobblehead. But he had the paraphernalia, had on his Arkansas shirt. Go into some of these guys' houses and there's a dedicated room for the Jaguars. Add up how much it costs. Thousands of dollars. Footballs, jerseys, posters, more footballs. You want to know why they do all this stuff? They love football exceedingly. Exceedingly. Now, I want you to just stop and ask yourself this. What I do to and for and with the Word of God, does it even come close to how these guys manifest their love for football? You see, you and I have to love the Word of God exceedingly, folks. That's how we're to love it. Love is a powerful emotion. A powerful emotion. Notice it drives one to do things for the object or the person that is loved. Isn't that true? If I truly love the Word of God, guess what? There are many things with regard to this book that I will never, ever have to be begged to do, because my love drives me to do it. It is essential for every person to love God's Word, because you see, if we don't, we'll perish. I want you to stop and ask yourself, does my life manifest a love above fine gold, a love that can be described as exceeding toward the Word of God? Because if I can get you to love the Word of God like that, the rest of my lessons are going to be easy. You know that? Just simple. In fact, they almost won't even need to be preached. Now remember what Paul said. There were some who heard the word, but they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, they perished. Maybe you're in here and you fall in that category right now. My friend, it's not going to be a good day when you wake up and you're lost. Don't do that. The Bible tells us what we need to do to be saved, doesn't it? I'm to hear the message of the truth, and that produces faith deep within me. A belief in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, John 8, verse 24. That faith then moves me to repent of my sins, to put away my transgressions, to quit practicing those things, to stand with courage and confess my faith in Christ, and then to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, 16. Saul was told, "While in that house, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you need to do that this morning? Don't leave lost, my friend, dear Christian. Does your Christian life really manifest a love for the truth? A love for the truth. Maybe there's something in your life you need to repent of, something that's standing between you and God's Word. A sin. Ask God to forgive you. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and